Thank you, guys. Would you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I told you earlier that I would be back this morning with the same questions that I was asking last week, at least some of them. And the first one, of course, is why bother? We talked about that a lot last week. As we enter this, what we call stewardship season, which actually should be the season from December through the following November every year, all the time. As we enter that, though, this pledge season, this question of why bother, I think, is really significant. If there's no reason, if the church serves no real purpose, if there isn't a point to our ministries, why bother to support them? There's lots of good alternatives out there for people to put their money behind. There are lots of great service organizations. So what I want to talk about today is I want to talk about this particular church. Last week I talked about the church in capital letters and what the church had done historically and why then we should get behind the church. But this week I want to come home. I want to drop right in here. I want to put a laser focus in and say, why this church? Why this church? So bear with me, if you will. You see, it's a difficult argument, isn't it? Because everywhere you look, the church seems to be in decline. The cultural mavens say that it's outlived its usefulness. Its views and its mores, they say, are outdated and outmoded and things of the past. Former churchgoers are staying at home. Those that didn't get homebound before COVID have certainly been homebound since. And dechurched and unchurched people are staying home in droves. In droves. A long time ago, Christ said that he was going to establish his church and that the gates of Hades wouldn't prevail against it. But then again, he might just have been wrong. Perhaps he missed on that one. Guess we'll have to see, huh? Now, there are lots, we talked about this last week, but there are lots of social organizations doing lots of good in the world. So does that mean that the church is an anachronism in this day and age? Have we worked our way out of a job? Has the social safety net, has the community safety net, has it taken our place? And if so, then why bother? Why bother? Well, you say, that may be true in the broader world, but we're special here. Here in God-fearing, gray-haired, deeply opinionated Fountain Hills, the church is still secure. No worries. No worries here. Oh, really? Why then have churches around us, near to us, why have they closed? Why are they gone? Why are they constantly turning over? And why then in a nation where 65% claim to be Christian, do only 18% of our Fountain Hills neighbors attend church regularly? 18%. The national figure for those that attend church is 65%. But what that masks is the question regularly. When we were young, if you can remember back that far, regularly constituted every Sunday. Do you know that church, those that study churches and write about churches and stuff, they've had to kind of unspool that. You know how they define regular attendance now? Once a month. Once a month. So 18% of Fountain Hills makes it to church once a month. The rest either don't make it at all or make it less often. Why bother? Asks the evil one again. I talked about him last week, how he sneaks up and he asks these questions and he plants the doubts. Why bother? Again, he's sensing his awful opportunity here. Is it really worth the effort? I mean, come on, Kiwanis does a good job. Rotary does a good job. The city does a good job. Yes. Yes, it was worth the effort, replies Glenn Atchison. Yes, it was worth the effort, replies Peg Tibbetts. Paul and Blanche Brisbane. Yes, it was worth the effort, George and Judy Mortimer. Stan Jones and Jerry Miles and dozens more say, yes, it was worth the effort. The great cloud of witnesses who created the legacy of FHBC out of faith, hope, and love, and who went to their reward, leaving the future in our hands, say, yes, bother. Bother now. Because you have our legacy to honor. And because you have your legacy to create. You see, the world doesn't just need the church. Fountain Hills needs this church. We're different here. Today and tomorrow and the tomorrow after tomorrow and the ones that succeed that, Fountain Hills needs this church. You ask me why bother? Well, here's why. Here's why. Because when you ask me, I think about this. I think about little Annabelle Good. I think about the two Robinson girls. And I think about them being born into this family in expectant and sacred trust that we would find homes here for them. I think about them. Why bother? I think about adults such as Butch Utter and Andy Hazley, baptized right here, making their own commitments right here. I think about them, and I think about children such as Madison and Jackson Reynolds. Jackson was just baptized a couple, 3 weeks ago here. Madison was several years ago. But I think about them. I think about Ryder and Chloe Martinson, grandson and daughter of our Martinsons. Think about them, baptized here as well. I think about the Spirit upon them as they came up out of that water. I think about God saying to them here in our sanctuary, you are my beloved. In you I'm well pleased. I think about Jim and Arlene Stewart daring to grasp for new life as they clasped hands in this sanctuary and shared wedding vows. I think about that. That's why bother, right? I think about Ron Waldo and I think about Bonnie Hollabaugh. I think about them standing here as new members, both of them beaten and hurt by the church in the past, but both of them willing to put their lonely hearts out on the rug so that we could come around them. There, why bother? Think about young John Troutman. Some of you know him. Used to play the bass regularly, week after week after week, in our second service band. Lovely young man, a professed agnostic, but who nonetheless was drawn here week after week by this indefinable something, which is really a someone named Jesus Christ. And he found him here in worship. Think about Rita Applegate. I remember meeting Rita. She came to our second service first, and she arrived, right? She arrived here really quietly, if you can imagine. And as she remained here joyously, and that you can imagine, having found something that was previously missing in her life and in her community. I think about the widows and the widowers who, seemingly abandoned by death, finding renewed hope and meaning within the life of this community, holding one another up, holding one another to them. I think about all of us. I think about all of us huddling together in these very pews, stunned, shattered, broken, the morning after Pat Kovalt's unfathomable death. And we did it simply because there was nowhere else sufficient to that unthinkable moment. That's why bother. Because this church is alive and it's vital, and Jesus Christ is here, and he wants out. He wants out those doors, and he wants down those hills, and he wants into that valley, and he wants us to walk with him and introduce him. That's why bother. Because these are examples here, as I just gave you, they're examples of real and sufficient life that only happens here in this known family of faith. Because only underneath this roof can we offer up our most precious moments of our lives, confident that grace, mercy, and the love of community of Christ will hallow them and give them meaning. Friends, life is uncertain. We're all old enough to know that. Life is uncertain, but we can predict this with certainty. We will encounter hardship and joy. Our hearts will be broken and filled. Someone we love will die, and someone we will come to love will be born. We will suffer taunts, disappointment, and illness, and we'll celebrate kindnesses, successes, and God bless it, recovery. And we will need the community of this church, each of us, through them all, through them all. And when the world serves up failure and rejection, we'll need this place. We'll need this promise of acceptance. That's why bother. Why bother? Why fund the ministries of this church? Because there are people out there who don't know all this yet. Really, they don't. And our Christian formation ministry needs to reach out to them. Why bother? Why fund the ministries? Because there are people out there who don't have what we have. And our mission team needs to touch them. Why bother? Because there are people out there who don't have a secure place of belonging. Our communications crew needs to continue to put one within the reach of the shyest of them. And our worship team needs to continue to create one for them. And our hospitality folks need to continue to be one for them. A secure place of belonging, a place to relax, a place to rest, a place to put down your guard. We need this ministry because they need this ministry. That other 82% have no idea what they're missing, have no real idea what they need. But we do, and we're here. Why bother? Why fund the ministries of this church? I told you this last week. The answer is really simple. Because people around us are lost, and because our Lord won't stand by and let us stand for it. In Scripture this morning, the Apostle Paul, God bless him, raises that mighty voice of his and that deep spiritual passion, and he begins by giving thanks for the faithful of the church. Listen to him. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Does that begin to sound like something else you'll hear from the Apostle Paul? Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love, right? Then he goes on. He goes on, having cast this broad picture of the prayer, then he goes on to detail it for them, that you may bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. And finally, with that great heart, he blesses them. May you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. Here at FHPC, we've all shared in the inheritance of our own saints in the light. We've named them. We've recalled them. And now it's our turn to bother, just as it was their turn when they were here. Now it's our turn to give our thanks. So I pray pray in the power of the Holy Spirit that we will all do our part, sharing and continuing the inheritance by pledging our time, our love, and our money. And let us step forward together in faith, hope, and love to ensure that our legacy may someday be as fruitful as theirs. Amen. Let us take a moment and listen to what the Spirit may be saying in silence to each of us.